WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, August 10th. Coming up, staying in addiction recovery is difficult when you don't have a way to get around. We'll learn about efforts to help from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The FBI's seizure of material from former President Donald Trump's Florida home is becoming an issue in the Illinois governor's race. Dave McKinney has more.
In a statement, Republican Darren Bailey called the federal activity at Mar-a-Lago shocking, and he needled Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker for his own seeming familiarity with FBI investigations. That's an apparent reference to past federal scrutiny of a residential property tax break the governor and his wife once sought for their Gold Coast property. In his own statement, Pritzker hit Bailey for visiting Mar-a-Lago while coveting Trump's endorsement and said it was, quote, extremely disturbing to see other Republicans seeking to defund the FBI and abandon law enforcement. Pritzker also accused Bailey of, quote, once again siding with MAGA apologists over those who actually keep us safe. This is Dave McKinney.
Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says he was, quote, stunned by Monday's news that federal agents had raided the home of former President Trump. Even as the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Durbin says he has not been briefed about what the FBI was looking for at Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in West Palm Beach, Florida.
I feel certain, not knowing any details directly, that they wouldn't have taken such an historic and monumental step without thoughtful consideration and checking all the boxes.
Durbin late last month called on the U.S. Justice Department to investigate why text messages to and from key Trump administration security officials sent during the January 6th insurrection were not preserved, in violation of the Federal Records Act. Just a few days after issuing an apology for a 2017 video where he compared abortion with the Holocaust, Republican nominee for Governor Darren Bailey is doubling down on those remarks. Hannah Meisel has more.
Governor J.B. Pritzker's campaign went on the offensive last week with TV ads featuring Bailey's five-year-old comments.
The attempted extermination of the Jews of World War II, it doesn't even compare on a shadow of the life that has been lost and with abortion.
Bailey tried to course correct, saying he wasn't trying to, quote, diminish the atrocities of the Holocaust. But this past weekend, Bailey doubled down on his comments, claiming to Kendall County-based radio station WSPY that he had met with Jewish leaders last week who approved of the comparison.
Do you think the Jewish community needs an apology on that?
The Jewish community themselves have told me that I'm right.
Pritzker, who is Jewish, said in a statement that Bailey's words should be disqualifying, while other Jewish organizations condemned the Republicans' comments again. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Last weekend at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Texas, Congresswoman Mary Miller reiterated her support for the Safety and Opportunity for Girls Act, a bill she introduced in February of 2021. She also came out in support of the Women's Bill of Rights.
Genesis tells us that God created man and woman, that their purpose is to be fruitful and to multiply.
Both are conservative measures supported by members of the House Freedom Caucus. They've been criticized by activists and the LGBTQ community. 15th District Democratic candidate Paul Lang says these bills are misleading.
I don't know. I think it misses the main thrust of what I would consider a woman's bill, right? And that is the ability to determine her own health issues.
Miller faces Lang in the November general election. Still to come, a look at the challenges that people in addiction recovery face when it comes to transportation. That story from Darian Benson is next on 217 Today.
Join WILL on our 10th annual private rail trip to the East Coast, October 27th through November 4th. Climb aboard beautifully restored train cars and travel in style to your destination. Your itinerary includes guided sightseeing tours in Boston and Salem, with a stop in Plymouth to visit a living history museum. You'll also have time to explore these historic cities on your own. Find the complete trip schedule and pricing at will.illinois.edu/willtravel.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Staying in recovery can be a challenge for people with substance use disorders. It's even harder if you don't have a way to get around, to medical appointments, support groups, or even to run errands. Some communities are exploring whether providing free rides can help. Side Effects Public Media's Darian Benson reports.
Charmin Gabbard runs the Connection Cafe in Connersville, a small town in eastern Indiana. We have a beautiful space over here. It literally looks like a cafe.
Here, people in recovery from substance use disorders can gather for support groups. They provide free clothing, there's a place to shower, and they serve hot meals throughout the week.
Our biggest strength is loving people. We are just an open community for all people, no matter what. If they have substance use disorder, if they have mental illness, or if they're just wanting a place to come hang out.
Gabbard is the kind of person, when you meet her, you just feel immediately welcomed. She's 48, a mom with two kids, and she cares deeply about people struggling with addiction. In her 20s, Gabbard says she had 3 DUIs in 5 years. 2 of those violations resulted in prison sentences. She was eager to turn her life around. But when she got out of prison in 2015, she'd been banned from driving due to her prior DUIs, and she lived 5 miles outside of town. When she wanted to attend recovery meetings or even just run errands, she had to hitch a ride from a family member, or she'd run. And when her son started playing sports, the only way to get him to practice was to move closer to his school. She says transportation is a huge barrier for lots of people in recovery. We spoke at her office at Connection Cafe.
So without having that ability to get to that appointment, then you've just failed that. And then you got that fear of, I just violated. Or I missed an appointment with my children, I've let them down. So that cycle of guilt and shame and regret and feelings of failure, and then all of those things that you've ever thought are right there, right in the front. And so it's easier to give up.
A few years ago, Indiana leaders recognized this was an issue, and they launched a program, partnering with Lyft to provide free rides to people to and from addiction treatment and recovery programs. Treatment's really important. But transportation needs for people in recovery extend far beyond those services, says Dr. Paul Jodry. He's an addiction medicine specialist at the University of Pittsburgh.
When people talk about transportation, it's not just transportation to health services, but it's transportation to all of the important things in their life, getting to their jobs, getting childcare, going to the grocery store.
Earlier this year, the Indiana Recovery Network expanded on the state's efforts with a new program. They partner with Lyft to provide free rides to people in recovery for anything, as long as it relates to the 4 pillars of recovery: home, health, community, and purpose. Heather Rodriguez leads that network.
It can be to and from employment, school, things like that. Even if the money needs to get the kiddos to daycare on their way to an appointment or employment, they can use it for that.
It's too soon to know whether ride-sharing programs increase the likelihood of a person to access treatment or remain in recovery. The program has given more than 1,400 rides. Rodriguez says many appreciate the service. Gabbard, whose Connection Cafe is in a rural part of the state, says she loves the program. But there's one problem. There just aren't many Lyft drivers in her area. Last year, she learned the city auctions off bicycles that have been found, but they scrap the ones that don't sell. Gabbard says getting a bike is what helped her when she couldn't drive.
I didn't have my license yet, so I knew it was possible to make ends meet with using a bike.
So she had an idea. She asked the city if she could have those bikes. They said yes. She keeps the bikes at Connection Cafe and gives them to whoever needs them. So far, 10 people have taken bikes. And she says it's been so great to see the impact.
Just to see the joy, and as their recovery pathway starts picking up, and then you start seeing their potential. It's just amazing.
Free bikes and rides can't solve the problem entirely. Better public transportation in rural communities would help, and researchers say policy changes that lead to more treatment centers closer to home and easier to access will make the biggest impact. I'm Darian Benson, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 82 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Hannah Meisel, Harrison Malkin, and Darian Benson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.